بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم زدنا علما وعملا متقبلا، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's very nice to see all of you. May Allah reward you for staying for tonight's dars, inshallah ta'ala. Today is the class in the fiqh of marriage, and we are in the 31st class in the series, inshallah ta'ala. We left off last time with a very beautiful hadith containing the advice of the Prophet ﷺ to the ummah, wherein he advised us to have kindness and honor and not harming the neighbors. Inshallah, we'll repeat the hadith, inshallah, and continue with the commentary of the hadith, بإذن الله تعالى. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فلا يؤذي جاره، واستوصوا بالنساء خيرا، فإنهن خلقنا من ضلع، وإن أعوج شيء في الضلع أعلاه، فإن ذهبت تقيمه كسرته، وإن تركته لم يزل أعوج، فاستوصوا بالنساء خيرا. متفق عليه. أبو هريرة, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he who believes in Allah in the last day should not harm his neighbor, and take my advice regarding the good treatment of women, for they were created from a rib, and the most curved part of the rib is the upper part. If you attempt to straighten it, it will break, and if you leave it alone, it will remain bent. So take my advice regarding good treatment of women. The hadith is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. So last time we spoke about the beginning portion of this hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him not harm his neighbor. And we heard the beautiful story of Ibn Umar, who had slaughtered a sheep, and after he slaughtered the sheep, he told one of his servants to take the meat and give it right away to his neighbor. His neighbor happened to be a Jew. So the young boy, he said, why do you want to give the first part of the meat right away to your Jewish neighbor? And he said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that Jibreel kept reminding me of the rights of the neighbor until I thought he would give the neighbor a portion of inheritance. So much right that the neighbor has on a person. So one of the shuyukh, one of the scholars in Medina, and of the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, his name is Sheikh Atiyah Muhammad Salam. He reminisces about the days of the early days of Medina and how much right and how much love the people had for each other in the neighborhood. He says that in the beginning time when he went to Medina, perhaps this was 50 years ago, he said the Eid would be divided into 4 days. On the first day of Eid, people would visit their close relatives. The second day of Eid, they would visit the scholars and the people in authority. On the third day of Eid, they would go and visit their distant friends, their friends that were not related to them. And the last day of Eid, they would visit their neighbors. The 4 days of Eid, each day they would go around and visit different people. You see, all 4 days were filled with the visitation of building the bonds and tying the ties. Not only on the first day of relatives, not only with the ulama, not only with the friends, but even with those in the neighborhood, they didn't even know who they are. They didn't even know who they are. Sometimes they would go and visit the houses of their neighbors. And so the Shaykh, he mentions one event that happened to him, where there was a group of 25 of the scholars and the students from Dar al-Hadith in Medina, and they went and they visited one of the person's houses on the day of Eid, and they, all 25 of them, they entered in. And the way that it would work is that the first person, he would give the salam. The first person, he would give the tasmeem, and the person in the house, he would come out and he would just welcome the people into the house. He didn't have to make appointments. He would just come to the house and say, Assalamu alaikum. The person in the house would come out and he'd say, come inside and welcome the people. There's no appointments. People would just visit each other at any time. So he said, we entered with this group of people, 25 people, and one person was staying outside by the door. He didn't want to come inside. And so he said, we looked at him and we realized there's a reason why he's not coming inside. And one of the shiuch who was with him, his name was Sheikh Muhammad al-Najawi, he said, the reason why he's not coming in, he has some ill feeling towards the person, the owner of the house. So this Sheikh, who was well known for helping the ulama and bringing love, he went and grabbed that person by the wrist and he dragged him in the house and pushed him forward until he hit with the sahab, the owner of the house, until they hit each other. And at that moment, he said this story made him cry when he saw what happened. When he pushed him forward, the owner of the house and that person, they realized how long they've been fighting with each other for no reason. They had that hatred in their heart, and so they actually shook hands and then hugged one another. And they stayed hugging and they were even crying. They were even crying from that event, and they said, how long has it been? We've been apart 1 year, the shaitan has been making us hate each other. So it took physically forcing him to come and hug the sahib, the owner of the house, until it removed that hatred that was between the owner of the house and that person. And so then they made up with each other and they were happy to be with one another. So the Eid was a very good occasion to build and break away these ill feelings that the shaitan put between people. Even in the houses, they would prepare dates and sweets and rose-scented tea and drinks. Even the government offices, they would open up and people could come and visit them. And this is in Medina he's talking about. The government offices, they would pray Eid, Salah, and then all the government workers would go to their offices and open their doors so people could come and visit them. Their families could come and say salam to them. They would stay there from Eid prayer until Dhuhr and just accept people to say salam to one another. And so this was one of the important ways of building ties. He gave another story, Sheikh Atiyah Muhammad Salim, where he describes how a group of the people with him, they went to visit one of the houses in the neighborhood, as they would do on the fourth day. Any house in the neighborhood, they would go and visit. So they entered the house, or they came near the door, and they said, As-salamu alaykum. And they heard the voice of a little boy. Wa alaykum salam, little boy, he answered. He was the one hosting people. So the Shaykh, he said, we realized that this house, it didn't have a man in the house. There was no father in the house. There was just a little boy. And he said there was a curtain made of straw. Obviously, it was a very poor family. So the boy, he said, tafaddal, come inside. So the Shaykh and others, they came inside, and they found a little young boy who his head cloth, he had an igal, like the what the Arabs wear on their head. His headcloth was touching on the ground. He was so little. He was wearing a shield and dressed in his best clothing. And he said, come in, come in. So they came inside and they realized that he was the only man in the house. But yet he invited them in and he gave them drinks and dessert. And after they sat for some time, he heard some women crying behind in the back of the house. And the women, they started crying and they said, we are so happy you came to visit us, even though you are like our brothers, even though we don't have our father anymore. Their father had passed away. He said, you made us feel like you are our brothers. You know, they came into the house, they asked how they're doing, they sat down with them, strangers, but they were neighbors. So they said, the women in the house, they said, we've been so sad, we've been so miserable, and you came and took away all of our sadness. You visited us and you brought joy to our house. So you see how the visitation on the days of Eid, even to neighbors that they didn't know, it brought so much joy into the hearts of many, many different people. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what happened today? Where is this love today between the neighbors? Where is this spirit of brotherhood? We don't see it. We don't have that brotherhood and kindness and mercy that we used to have. Also from the rights, what we see from this hadith, from the rights of the neighbor is not to harm him. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ, do not harm his neighbor. And the ulama, they say, even by a drop of water you can harm your neighbor. A drop of water from a pot. Does anybody know the hadith? There's a hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when you cook the food, then add a lot of water, and so when your neighbor smells this food, you can go and give him some of that food. And the reason he said that is because when the neighbor, he smells the spices and he smells the food, they might not have food to eat. So the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded that if your neighbor, he smells the scent of your food, then what is required? That's required to share the food with the neighbor. When you cook a pot of food, especially if it's spicy food, the scent will go to the neighbor's house. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if the scent of the food reaches your neighbor, you must feed him. If you cook something, put a lot of water so that there'll be enough soup and then you can share it with your neighbor. So even the scent of your food, if the neighbor smells it, then he has a haq that you share the food with your neighbor. And some of the ulama, they pointed something beautiful. They said, the Prophet ﷺ said, add water. So even if the person's poor, can you say, I don't have water to put in your food? Water is free. You know, if he said, add meat, then it would have been difficult. But it's the sharing the food. Water is free. You can always add more water and share it with your neighbor, even if there's not that much meat in it. The meat is more expensive. So this shows you, the love and the care for one's neighbor and to not harm them. Also, the scholars, they say that in the narration, let not the female neighbor belittle anything in her female neighbor house. Do not belittle anything, even if it were the hoof of a sheep. See, sometimes a neighbor, especially women, they might look at their neighbors, they say, oh, I don't like her clothing. Or they look down on the way of their house, they say, oh, they have a poor house, they don't have paint on their house. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, even if it were the hoof of the sheep, she shouldn't look down on the hoof of the sheep of her neighbor. So again, to protect the neighbor from the harm of the eyesight. And perhaps you all know the hadith of the woman who the Prophet ﷺ described her. Some people came to Rasulullah, they said, there's a woman, she prays a lot at night, she gives a lot of charity, but she backbites too much about our neighbors. She says bad riba about her neighbors. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Hiya fin nar," she is in the hellfire. See, the saying the backbiting about the neighbors is also a great and very big sin. Also, the scholars, they mention in the narration, if any of you purchase fruit, then cover it up when you bring it in your home, lest the neighbor's children see it and they become harmed by it. Somebody, if they bring home a basket of fruit or something very delicious, fruit, and then their neighbor's children see it, then that will harm them. They'll be attracted to it and they don't have it in their house. So the narration says, cover it up unless you give them some of that fruit. Otherwise, those children, they might get anxious, they might get hurt by seeing this fruit. And also, that is from the right of the neighbor. Nowadays, you have the plastic bags and you can see everything inside of it. So again, to cover that up so the neighbor's children do not get harmed, do not get jealous of that food that one has. And this is also regarding the property, that any property that a Muslim has, he should not use that property in a way that will harm his neighbor. For example, building something on the property that will affect the neighbor, digging a well or causing a wall or a fence or anything that will lead to harming the neighbor, even if it's on one's own property, because this will lead to causing harm to a neighbor. This will lead to affecting the neighbor's right. So even building something, planting a tree, all of these things, one should be mindful of the right of his neighbor. One person, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, I moved to a new house, and the person who is most harmful to me, who is most harsh towards me, is my closest neighbor. The one who is right next door to me, he is the one who is harming me the most. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, go back and be patient. So the man, he kept complaining. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, go back and be patient. Go back and be patient. He said it three times. Finally, the man, he said, I cannot go back. He's very too much annoying me or harming me. the Prophet ﷺ, he said, go back and take all of your possessions out of your house and sit in the street. So the man, he listened to the Prophet ﷺ, he went back, he took all of his possessions, he put it in the street. So all the people who were passing by in the street, they said, what's wrong? Why are you here in the middle of the street? What happened? So he said, my neighbor was harming me, he was doing some things that bothered me, so the Prophet ﷺ told me to put my possessions in the street. Until everybody in the neighborhood, it became the talk of the neighborhood, look at what this neighbor is doing to his brother. So when the neighbor heard about everybody saying things about me, he ran to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, Ya Rasulullah, tell him to put his stuff back in the house and I promise I will never bother him again. Wallahi, I'll be good to him. Because he didn't want all of this, all of the people talking ill of him. So this was the way that the Prophet ﷺ rectified that situation, that the man, he agreed to be kind to his neighbor after that. Also, we hear some stories. Some of the scholars, they mention interesting anecdotes. One anecdote they say is that there was a man who had a lot of mice in his house. So he came and he asked for advice. People said, why don't you get a cat? If you get a cat, then it'll chase the mice away. So the man, he said, I don't want to bring a cat in the house because I'm afraid if the mice hear the cat, they'll run to my neighbor's house. They'll go to my neighbor's house and bother my neighbor. So he said he didn't want to just get rid of his problem and put it on his neighbor, so he didn't follow that advice. And finally, one very beautiful story, which was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you know, Aisha, she used to knead the dough. She used to make dough and make it into loaves of bread and cook it in the oven and leave it out for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so when he came home he could eat the bread. And normally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went out to salah, he would close the door behind him. So Aisha one day, she made a loaf of bread and she put it out like her regular habit outside so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could come and eat the loaf of bread. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, he didn't close the door all the way. He left it a little bit ajar, a little bit open. So the neighbor of Aisha, her neighbor had a goat. And that goat, it smelled the scent, or it knew that there was a loaf of bread, and it came towards the house. Aisha was sleeping. Aisha, she didn't know what was happening. So the goat or the sheep, it came into the house, and it went and took the loaf of bread that Aisha had made for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she sensed that the goat had come in the house, and she woke up and she ran and chased the goat until she caught up with the goat right as it was by the door of the house. And she was ready to teach the goat a lesson. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, suddenly he came in the door. And he said, Aisha, take what's left of your bread, but leave the goat alone. Because if you harm it, you're going to harm our neighbor. So take your bread is yours, but leave the goat alone, don't hit it or harm it, because then our neighbor will become upset or he'll be harmed by it. So he was concerned for the right of the neighbor. Somebody might say the goat was doing something wrong, but yet the right of the neighbor had more haq, had more right, because the neighbor is going to be annoyed, he's going to be bothered by that. So we see in this hadith the advice towards good treatment of the neighbor, of respecting and guarding the rights of the neighbor and not harming the neighbor. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ. There is more, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then do not harm his neighbor. There's more on this chapter than you can articulate. There's so many stories and so much advice of the Prophet ﷺ, but inshallah will suffice with this. And next time we'll continue with the next part of the hadith, which talks about good treatment of women. Inshallah, there will be many lessons in that part of the hadith. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ahlihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khair. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes.
Question, but you said that if the neighbors even smell the spices,
yes,
usually
yes.
That happens with, you know, Vichy families.
Yes, and, yes, definitely.
You know, but there's a, you know, in Western world, you have to be careful when you are sharing your food to, you know, American family or whatever. if one try to share your food and they have too many spices in their food,
I see. Well, you know, they'll get used to it after a while, right? The first time it'll be very hot, the second time, you know, people they get used to it. So definitely want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't want to, because even that, unfortunately, that's part of the way the shaitan has made the neighbors dislike each other. They say, oh, they have weird food. They give them some of the food, maybe they taste it, they begin to like it. Actually, I met many, many people in my lifetime, American, you know, non-Muslim people. The first thing they say is, I love the Indian food. I love the Pakistani food. It's biryani, naan, and it becomes like a means of dawah for them. So alhamdulillah, you know, the people, there's still a lot of, there's still goodness, and if you show that, it will take away some of the thoughts of the shaitan, you know, that these people are different, these people are weird. It might be a means of dawah for them. And usually you find that people are interested in learning, you know, about what is this food, where are you from, and then it might open the door for giving dawah to them, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll bless you, inshallah.
You mentioned about 4 days of Eid, or 3 days.
The Eid, on the Eid al-Adha and the Eid al-Fitr, according to the Sharia Islam, it's one day where it's not allowed to fast on that day, etc. But the culture, there's room for cultural practice regarding these Eids. That Islam, it allows different cultures, they might celebrate it different ways, they might visit on different days, or they might have different ways of celebrating the Eid. Some places they have it for a whole week. In some parts of the Middle East, 1 week is Eid, visiting and closing all the stores for the entire week. Some other places it might be 1 or 2 days or 3 days. Or 4 days. In Medina, they celebrated traditionally 4 days. So it's open. But what the point is that nowadays Eid comes and goes as if nothing happened. You know, as if, you know, we don't really feel the Eid. But the way it was and the way it should be amongst Muslims is that we should take it as an opportunity. Eid, it means to come back again. You know, something that comes back again. And from the great benefits of the Eid is, like you saw in the story, people that you might have the ill feeling towards, or there might be some ill feeling, when you go and visit them, then it takes away that the thoughts of the shaitan. So visiting people that you know, your neighbors, anybody else on those days, there's a great ajr for it, inshallah ta'ala. Any other questions? Inshallah. Okay. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين والله أعلم.